Hello, can you hear me now?
Yep, still got you.
Oh, great. How are you, Steve?
Okay, thanks.
That's good. I was laughing a minute ago because I didn't even have your number. All our contact has been done on Instagram.
Yeah.
The last time we chatted was 2019.
That's a while ago.
It is a while ago. A lot's happened.
Yeah, indeed it has, yeah.
It's been like a roller coaster for you.
Yeah, it has, yeah.
Do you have Layla with you at the moment?
Yeah, we just got back to Mount Beauty, to her house.
So you're in Mount Beauty, are you?
Yep.
Yep. Did you have an issue with your dog?
Yeah, one of them's got something's going on with his leg, so we'll get to take him to the vet in the morning.
Yeah, okay. I saw an awesome photo of you sitting on one of your machines out in the snow this season.
Oh, yeah. I went up there right at the end.
Was it good to get back out?
Yeah, it's beautiful out there, yeah.
Do you want to talk about what's gone on over the last few years?
Oh, yeah, that'd be fine, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you're a fit and healthy ex-Olympian athlete at 61 and all of a sudden?
Yeah.
What happened?
I woke up on the floor and couldn't move half my body and... Yeah, paralysed on one side of my body and no idea what had happened really, but as we found out later on, a fairly substantial stroke, which delivered a fair whack of brain damage and has left me paralysed on the left side of my body. So still a couple of years later, I'm still working on rehab and trying to get back to some kind of, I guess where I am now is hopefully not the normal going all the way forward, but... Worked pretty hard to be able to get out of it. Well, the diagnosis at the beginning was I'd never get out of bed, never stand up. So I'm getting around now, gone from getting out of bed and getting around in a wheelchair to now walking with a stick, which is a fairly major step forward.
I wonder if that's due to the fact you were super fit.
Well, I think it certainly would have helped.
Mm.
Yeah.
So what is a stroke?
So a stroke is where... blood is denied to your brain. So in my case, there's a term for it, but I had some clotting in my arteries in my neck, or webbing, sorry, and that formed a clot and trapped the blood from getting to my brain. So my brain was starved of blood. And so you can have a stroke, I think, from a bleed or there's different kinds. Mine was caused from a lack of blood getting to the brain.
So for people listening that are around a similar age, you hopped into bed and you hadn't had any issues, nothing?
Yeah, I think I'd been skiing that day. Yeah, no forewarning, just woke up on the floor. I'd probably tried to get up to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night and didn't realise I couldn't walk, so I fell over and ended up on the floor of my bedroom and, couldn't get up. I could move a little bit, I could wiggle and I could... Couldn't quite sit up, but I couldn't get back to my feet.
And how long were you on the floor?
Quite a while.
Because they say with the stroke, the sooner you can get to care, the better.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So it took me quite a while. So I was more than 24 hours, I think, before I got to. I ended up getting taken out because I was in Falls when it happened, so got chopped out of Falls to Melbourne to the hospital, and then, so I was... Not quite 24 hours, but, much longer than optimal. If I had been in a city, I probably would have been in hospital within a few hours.
So no wonder their prognosis for you was poor.
Yeah.
And so what was going through your mind while you were lying there all night?
That I was bloody cold. I remember shivering and then my fellow heard my nephew out putting his ski boots on, so I yelled out to him and he came in and I was... naked on the floor and couldn't move on a concrete floor and in a room that didn't have any heating. So I thought I was hypothermic initially, but he called the medical center and they got him to run a few tests and they said, no, it sounds like he's had a stroke. So they got the paramedic up and he convinced the air ambulance to come in and pick me up and they had other things that they wanted to do. And he was, because it had been so long, they were convinced that I was pretty much a lost cause. So they weren't too keen to come and get me, and so the paramedic convinced them that I was pretty strong and, you know, not, and was, you know, so he convinced, thankfully, because otherwise I would have had to drive all the way to Melbourne or go all the way down there in an ambulance. So the chopper ride was probably a lifesaver for me.
Mm. Yeah, one of those occasions where it is a life-saving ride, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, wow. I can't imagine what it would have been like. And it's almost frightening to think that it could happen to anyone at any time.
Yeah. Yeah, very bizarre just to, you know, get a bit healthy and wake up. No paraplegia, but you know, no use of one side of your body.
Mm. Could you use a phone at all, or did you have one, or you couldn't reach it? Or
I don't think I had one with me, no.
Mm.
I mean, I would have been able to. I was cognitive enough to hear things, and I could, you know, when as soon as I heard Paddy out getting his ski boots on to go for a ski, I yelled out to him, and he finally came in and said, "What are you doing?" So I can't move.
Mm.
So, yeah.
It sounds like you didn't lose your sense of humour.
I don't think I was too humorous at the time, but yeah, it's one of the. I've had a pretty good run at life, really good health. You know, even though I tried pretty hard to hurt myself a few times through my ski career, I managed to get through 10 years of race and walk up downhill without a major injury. So yeah, I was pretty blessed in that regard that I have had good health my whole life. And
you also had you know, amazing, wonderful support online and off with people that have known you well. Has that been helpful?
Yeah, all the support that came in from friends and, you know, people that I've met maybe once or twice, but it was, yeah, I mean, it all helps to have people cheering you on.
Mm, yeah. And I guess from your daughter's point of view, she's been a big part in the caring of you. She wasn't planning on becoming a carer?
No, it wasn't in the plans. No, not at all. But she, yeah, she's been amazing.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, I've been hearing it from everyone that I know in that area, Mount Beauty and Falls Creek, and it's quite an extraordinary story, really.
Yeah. So, yeah, the tables turned pretty quick from me looking after her to her looking after me.
Yeah, well, isn't that nice that you had her?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, she's a treasure, absolute treasure. Wonderful young lady.
Mm, yeah, she sounds like it. And, you know, during all of this, in the meantime, your dear old mum.
Yeah, I'm just sitting up. Yeah, so mum went down pretty quickly in the end. She was, again, pretty healthy right to the end, or almost to the end. But, she had a good crack at life, so.
Well, one of the toughest women I've ever met.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, tough and soft at the same time.
Mm, yeah, true.
Yeah. So, yep, so.
What about from the rehab point of view, how's your mental state?
That's probably the biggest battle because you feel like, you know, mentally I feel like I should be making more progress, but I don't. So that's a real battle to keep the energy, to keep the willpower to keep, you know, going at rehab and so on. And
Would it have been easy just to give up?
It wasn't something I can. I mean, at times it's something you consider like, phew, this is not how I expected life to be going, you know. So,
yeah, well, and, not from the point of view of being an Olympic downhill skier, like the extreme, yeah. The extreme one extreme to another, really, haven't you?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and I expected to be. You know, both my parents were pretty healthy, well into their 70s, so I know, and we had pretty good longevity in our family and good health, so it wasn't like it was on the radar or anything. So, you know, I still expected to be skiing and surfing and living life, and it's a very big, very big shift for me.
Mm. And so based on their prognosis, which wasn't good for you, you know, how did that go with regards to your rehab? Were they surprised that you...
Yeah, everyone's been pretty surprised that I've progress as well as I have.
Yeah, when I saw that picture of you out there, I thought, whoa, he's come good in a good way.
Yeah,
but I'm guessing
it was... Yeah, well, from as I said in an interview, you know, that the early prognosis was that I never get out of bed, never walk again. I said, well, it's not in my DNA, wasn't ever gonna, as soon as I heard, I said, yeah, well, that's not the way I function, so I didn't let it sink in, didn't sort of let it wash by me and think, I never said anything, oh, that's me from now on, so I kept as positive an attitude as I could. And as I said to all the therapists, I'm not afraid of working physically hard because I've done that my whole life.
Mm. So you fought for it.
Yeah. So get stuck into it and whatever the... Yeah, hopefully, it's been a few years now, so hopefully I'll continue to make gains. And it's really, that's one of the frustrating things because you work physically hard and I'm used to getting, I was blessed, with having a physical ability to have, if I had to train, I got good rewards for it pretty quickly. Whenever I trained, kept fit and training for Olympics and going through different changing from one style training to another to get more strength. When I did my strength training, I gained strength really. I got good rewards from the effort I put in, and this feels like you get no reward from it. So.
Yeah, okay. It's a slow progress.
Yeah.
What's been your daily routine?
Well, now that I'm in Mount Beauty, I've been doing Pilates class about four times a week, and I've got a few things around the house. I do some stair work and a stationary bike that I do some work on, and so yeah, got a sort of, it's still a rehab, but it's semi trying to keep the rest of my body in as good a shape as I can, and also working the areas that aren't working to try and convince the brain that you still want to use them, and that the neuro connections will slowly reconnect and they'll come back to life.
What sort of program of nutrition are you on?
I haven't changed my style of nutrition too much. I still eat pretty healthy and try and get good fats and I've probably cut back the amount I'm eating because I'm trying to cut back the amount I'm eating. As Kieran Ferguson said to me when he finished swimming, he said, hunger's a bloody hard thing to turn off.
Yeah, that's right. If you were used to moving a lot and eating a lot.
Yeah. Getting used to not eating a lot, your body is just so used to having X amount going through it, and it's hard to slow down, hard to turn off.
Has Layla still got that sauna in her house?
Yep.
You been using that?
A couple of times, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I wonder whether that would be beneficial.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
No? Haven't had any successes?
There's some, well, I don't think there's any. I think it's mostly CrossFit. So, yeah, I've used a little bit, but sitting out in the sun is, by all accounts, a good thing to do to get natural vitamin D through the system and the ultraviolet rays and whatever. So
definitely a good idea, yeah. And what's your local...
So I do that except when it's been pissing around the last, 3 days.
I was going to say, it's a bit hard in Mount Beauty, and the weather's been awful, hasn't it, up there?
Oh, just the last few days. We've had a lot of good weather. We had a pretty nice few weeks. So, yeah, it's nice to sit out in the garden and... Got a good view of the mountains here, and
beautiful.
So the dogs hang around, and most of the time they take off and have their little adventures every now and again. It's beautiful spot here. So,
what's the Mount Beauty community been like?
Yeah, pretty good. I've got a couple of one really good mate that moved to Beauty a couple of years ago. So it's good. There's a good little. Probably younger than my generation, but I've got one really good mate that lives here, so we catch up and watch footy and do things. He's more mobile than me, but so we have Friday nights over at his place and watch the footy now the footy's all over, so trying to get golf was one thing that I was doing while I was in Albury. We went out into the golf range and learned how to hit the ball with one arm.
Okay. So are you still paralysed on one side?
Yeah.
And is that likely to be like that forever?
It's hard to say. It's probably not, but possibly, yeah.
Because the brain's an amazing thing, isn't it?
Yeah. So that's the whole idea of the rehab, is you keep using the areas that are affected, and the brain can either reconnect, like if it senses that side's still being, that you want to use it, but the brain's also very good at forgetting things, apparently, like, because you've got plenty to deal with anyway. So if you're not using something, you'll just go, oh, we're not using that anymore. We won't worry about it. So you've got to keep using or trying to use those areas. So most of the rehab is aimed at keeping those movements going and keeping neuro pathways active.
Mm. And has all this been expensive?
I've got good health coverage. So I went and did a couple of months up at a special rehab joint. In in Burley Heads.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we've had really good fundraising that's paid for that, and you know, but not having an income, like you still have living expenses. So yeah, there's So there's been a lot of good fundraising that's happened for me. So money hasn't been an issue at this stage.
Mm. And what about your Steve Lee tours? Are they still going?
Yeah, Lala ran them all season, so yeah, they're still plugging along.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow, good on her.
Yeah, so they went okay. Mm. I mean, it wasn't a great winter, but...
yeah, it was a bit disappointing. It started off well, but then it ended early.
Yeah, it made ground a lot pretty quick, but you get those. You run with whatever you get in the mountains. And
well, you've seen plenty of different types of seasons, haven't you?
Yeah, seen all the good ones, plenty of good ones and plenty of bad ones.
Mm. Yeah, and there's no rhyme or reason.
No, not at all.
What sort of advice would you be giving people, you know, from their 50s onwards to, you know, what have you learnt to maybe, you know, live a lifestyle that maybe prevents this or I don't know?
Yeah, well, I mean, you can definitely live a lifestyle that can prevent it, but whether it's mine was genetic, so like mine was just a ticking time bomb that was there waiting to happen, and there's no rhyme or reason why it happened. It just, and there was no, even if it had been found out that I had carotid arteries in my neck, there's nothing you can do about it. So,
you hadn't changed any like medication or done something different or anything like that?
I'm on blood thinner. I remain on blood thinners, which will prevent it from happening again. So, yeah. So,
but prior to it having like, you know, had you been like vaccinated or had you been changed any sort of things from a doctor perspective?
Not that I can think of, no. I mean, I did get vaccinated, but I don't think that had anything to do with the stroke, so.
Mm, yeah, well, how would you know, yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't know, yeah.
No, it's almost impossible.
As far as that goes, you know, talking to my mum about it, you know, she said when I was growing up, I had plenty of friends that went down through polio, and then polio vaccine came out and no one ever had polio again, so.
Mm, yeah.
So she was an absolute proponent of vaccinations, and as am I, you know, I think there's a lot of bad press about them, but imagine a world with, you know, rife with polio and smallpox and all these other horrible conditions that have been eradicated due to vaccination. So they're a miracle of, well, they're a wonderful part of science and humans progressing.
Yeah.
Being able to prevent horrible things in life. So, yeah, I think vaccinations are marvellous.
Mm. So as far as lifestyle, I mean, what a crazy thing, you know, what can we do as we live to work towards it not happening to us?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, staying good health is always a good thing. You're going to enjoy your life more if you're in good health. So keeping your health as optimal as possible is never a bad thing.
Mm.
But we're in a, you know, our bodies are a vessel that have, who knows what's in there that could go wrong. Or what might happen to you? You know, the old saying is you could step off a curb and get hit by a bus any day, which is probably a better way to go than having a stroke.
Yeah, well, given that you've now been through it, you can probably say that with confidence.
Yeah, I think I would have taken on the bus any day.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. So you'd rather, yeah, wow. I don't know. I've been thinking about it a lot since it happened to you, and I've been thinking about you a lot, and I, you know, think about myself and my own life and how I would view it, and you know, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, brain injuries are a mystery still on strokes. There's, you know, anyone that has a brain injury, the brain's still a big. From what I've learned through this, is that it's a very mysterious part of the body.
Mm.
Yeah, other things, ligaments mend, bones mend, muscles mend. Brains can mend, but it's not like everything else where you know, if you snap, wreck your knee and you tore your ligaments or you ripped a muscle off the bone, they can say, well, that's, you know, we can fix that up and you'll be out for X amount of time. With a brain injury, there's no timeline to it. So that's the toughest part that they can't say, well, you know, do this for this amount of time and you'll get this gain or this reward. It's a great unknown.
It's not like a bone break.
No, bone breaks are simple.
Some people that suffer brain injuries, whether it be from falling over or at work or something, they end up being a different version of themselves.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. And that was something that Well, it's a big emotional, yeah, you go through a huge emotional rollercoaster of realizing that you're not the same person that you were. And how you deal with that is how you deal with it, you know. So some people get really angry about it, and I can understand that. Yeah, I'm fortunate I've got good people around me, good friends, good family. And and I think the, you know, the background that I had from going, coming from Australia and reaching the level of it in skiing, which was very unexpected as well, was, I'd probably have maybe more willpower, brain power than most. I don't know if that makes any difference or not.
It sounds like that's the key, the willpower.
Yeah, well, willpower to stay on top of the dark. I mean, a lot of people have dark periods in their life for whatever reasons, and to stay on top of that is when you go down physically is I don't know whether it's, I've never had any, not that there's been pointed out to me, any mental issues, so I think mental issues are really, and this is a mental and physical issue, so yeah.
So you mentioned golf, trying to swing one hand. What are some of the other things you can't do?
Pretty much everything. I mean, I've skied a little bit, kind of. Not the kind of skiing I really wouldn't call it skiing in my experiences.
Do you feel like you're skiing like as if you're a beginner?
Oh, even worse, yeah.
Oh, even worse. So worse than me.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, just not being, I think my biggest gift physically was that I could, you know, what I told my body to do, my brain could tell my body to do something, it would do it. And I was like that from when I was a kid, hence my physical prowess. You know, running, walk up down hills, there's a lot of fear involved with that, but I was able to still operate at a high level, even though in a lot of regards, and I've seen friends paralyzed with fear that they just couldn't make the right decisions at the right time and end up wiping out and hurting themselves. And so for me, I seem to be able to operate pretty well under duress.
Yeah. Wow. It's a bit of a sad tale, isn't it?
Well, it is for me, yeah. Yeah, it's very sad, yeah, because I was expecting to have another good 20 or 30 years. I set up pretty well with good business going at Falls, good business going in Japan, and really enjoying life. And
So
starting to see a bit more of the world that doesn't have snow on it, yeah.
how do you see the future?
Well, we're trying to work that out. It's a, you know, there's a few balls in the air, so trying to get some travel happening again. And as I've got a great team around me, so we'll do some travel and get back to Japan. I've got my place in Japan still, which is awesome. So
yep, that looks
so good. Yeah, I mean, I'm.
That could be therapeutic.
Yeah, I think it'll be good and therapeutic. Yeah, so seeing things, you know, going places, would want to go to Ayers Rock, which I've never been to. So I see places that weren't on my radar because they didn't have snow on them, you know. I think Ayers Rock probably would have been a lot of fun if it was covered in snow.
Would have been.
Unlikely, but
yeah.
Well, there's some good fall line on it.
We're quick to travel overseas, but there's so much of Australia that, is there to be seen. It's just pretty expensive.
Yeah, and I've seen so much of the world. You know, I've been to plenty of places, and there's only one or two that I would like to go back to, and one of them is not going to be much fun because it's a place I would like to have gone and skied, which I didn't get the chance to. But yeah, go to Ayers Rock and do some camping trips around Australia. I think that's high on the agenda.
Yeah, good.
So we'll get a good setup with that happening, and do some trips out and see this wonderful country.
And is there anything that you want to say or mention to all your people that have been massive supporters?
Oh, just a heartfelt thank you to everyone. Yeah, it's been there for me. It's wonderful to, a little bit overwhelming, but as a few friends have said, you know, like the Falls Creek community was fabulous, and one prominent figure up there said, well, mate, it's almost payback because you've done so much for the joint, you know, so it's a bit of payback for you, so which is really nice. That's a nice comment to hear.
It sounds like you were surprised by that.
Yes and no. I mean, I know I did a lot for to put Falls on the map, and the community up there has been fabulous. It's a really strong community. We went to the 50th anniversary of the primary school a couple of weeks ago, and that was just brilliant, a brilliant day.
50 years, wow.
50 years, yeah, so a lot of memories, and the first group of students enrolled were Mark Stephen, Katie Stephen, myself, and my older sister, Kerry. So that was the first class of the first year. So we were all there, and yeah, some good speeches and lots of good memories. And to see how that is now, it's my smartest line. There's only one, I said during my speech that I think there's only one school that creates more magic than False Creek Prime, and that's Hogwarts.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I've seen those kids, and they ski like 3 or 4 days a week. Imagine going to a school like that.
Yeah, well, I didn't. So did my daughter, and it's great for families and obviously great for kids that have the opportunity to live in the mountains, and great for families to have the opportunity to live in the mountains and for their kids to get a fabulous education still, you know. So, yeah, I mean, the school's been a marvellous thing for the village, because, and it was one of the reasons why the families are up there that fought for it at the time, because they realised it would be that they were losing, and my parents were one of the proponents of it, that they will, you know, build a community, because there's a lot of people that come and they leave as they get to that age or get married and think of having kids, because, well, we can't raise a family out here because there's no school amenities, and now that that's fixed, there's great families up there that live up there year-round and run great businesses, and you know, the mountain is in good hands because of the, in large part because we have a primary school there that attracts, so, you know, schooling is an important thing for all families, and having a really good centre for learning out there for education is a big plus for the town, for the, well, resort village community.
So good.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, your mum, I think, was telling me about some of the early days and what it was like. And
considering the fundraising for it was mostly illegal through selling raffle tickets and glue iron parties or something, and you know, the original building was a shed that was donated by the State Electricity Commission, I think, and it was sitting out somewhere and had to be packed up from where it was and taken and was put back up in False Creek, and the block of land was given to the community as a block for the school. And so, yeah, it's a real community, and it's luxury now, and it's a beautiful place now. We're talking about it with Mark and Katie, that our only memories of, and they're probably stories of memories and, well, memories of stories, but sitting in this icy cold tin shed as kids with everything we owned on, freezing, looking out the window at the sun and the snow, and there's one little boiler in the middle of the room that sounded like it was going to blow up, it would huff and puff, and it was a pretty chilly place to sit and learn. We were fortunate that we had a lot of time to get out and ski, so that was the flip side.
Well, you were probably better off out skiing than sitting in a tin shed.
Yeah, much better, yeah.
What it sounds like would have been amazing.
Yeah, if you look at, you know, there's a lot of probably Australia's best skiers, well, myself, Mark and Katie Stephen, the Costa boys, both my sisters, brilliant skiers. You know, Kerry went down the instruction path and was one of the first Australians to be the become highly qualified on the world scale and sit on the world board of ski instructing. So yeah, it's done a lot of good.
And they've all come out of that little school.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think there's more to come. You know, the kids are there, know the history, and I think that it's not lost on them. You know, they know that great people have come from that school, and they're pretty proud to keep that going.
Yeah, amazing. Does Layla want to say anything?
Let me just check. She's not in the room at the minute.
Hey, Layla, you want to say anything?
She's just coming. You want to say a few words?
Again?
Again, yeah.
Yeah. Here.
Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, thank you.
We have met.
When? I was trying to think, because I'm like, your name sounds so familiar, and I'm like, when and when and why?
Ellie and I used to work for Foresight up there.
Oh, cool. With Patty. Oh, nice. Mm. Yeah, nice. Oh, Patty and Joe. Oh, beautiful.
And I've forgotten his name now. The guy that brought the sauna down to your place?
Perry?
Mo and Perry.
Yeah, Mo and Perry. Yeah.
We work with them.
Yeah, nice.
So, Dad and I were just talking about how you didn't have any plans to become a carer.
Well, wasn't on the top of my list.
No. Well, how old are you?
I just turned 30 a few weeks ago.
Yeah, okay. So have you had to kind of put your life on hold a bit?
I guess it probably went on hold for a little bit. I wouldn't say it's fully gone on hold. You know, I had to change my my direction a bit, but that was probably more so because Dad and I run businesses and everything together. So it was, you know, what happens now and where do we go from here? And with COVID happening at a similar time, it was everything was kind of going to change no matter what. Mm. It kind of, I guess it more so just kicked my ass into gear, you know, bought a house and just changed my life. I don't necessarily think it was in a negative way. Just had to kind of put the season air thing behind me for a bit, but it was probably time.
Yeah, anyway. She's faster than me, so that's
yeah. I've been waiting my whole life to be able to do that.
Yeah, right. And it's taken this.
Yeah, it, nothing else would have been able to make me ski faster than him apart from a stroke, sadly.
What was it like to see your hero go down like this?
It was definitely the hardest thing I've ever been through, for sure. Mm. Yeah, I guess in a way it kind of changed the way that I saw myself. I think a lot of who I was as a person was kind of attached to who Dad is.
Mm.
The whole, you know, like just, you know, guiding in Japan and running backcountry businesses and doing all this amazing stuff was very much kind of on the back foot of him anyway. So I had to, you know, had to kind of relearn who I was without that, like without that kind of pushing, mm. not pushing, but that force that was.
Step out of the shadows.
Yeah, step out of the shadows.
Mm. Yeah. Good analogy.
So yeah, it was. Yeah, and it was like, but I, you know, I love doing all that stuff with Dad, and I guess this is just a different way of us, you know, hanging out together.
Well, you hear about a lot of carers talking about that it was a pleasure to care for that person.
Dad's definitely one of them, mm. and that doesn't just come from me. That comes from, you know, everyone that supports Dad. He didn't lose the glint in his eye and. Mm. The cheekiness, that's for sure. But it is, you know, like it's there's certain parts that are difficult, but I think that's with anything, you know, it's kind of like if all of a sudden I'd had a kid or, you know, something else had happened, it'd be a similar kind of struggle just with life changes that aren't really your choice.
Mm.
But yeah, I love it. You know, Dad and I have always been really close and we get along really well as mates, and I think that's important too. And I tried to make sure that everyone that we had supporting Dad was, you know, even if they weren't what, like one of his initial friends, that they do get along and it doesn't feel like this kind of sad, mundane thing for everybody involved, whether it's Dad or his supports as well. And they all adore him. They all fight trying to spend time with him. So,
well, you can tell by his attitude that, you know, it wouldn't be a mournful thing to hang around with him.
Yeah, no, exactly. And it's never kind of like, oh, well, me, this happened to me, like how depressing is this? And, you know, Dad doesn't, he's never been like that anyway, but it's, you know, definitely has down days, but I think that's natural. And if he didn't, I'd probably be more worried.
Mm.
But it's always kind of positive and, you know, what can we do to get better and what can we work towards? And there's ebbs and flows within that as well. You know, like things have obviously changed for him a lot, just as far as his, you know, what his favorite things to do, because they all were so kind of extreme sport orientated, whether it was like surfing or skiing. And obviously it's not gone out the window forever, but we're trying to figure out ways to bring those aspects back into his life. But, you know, there's new stuff that we're going to have to figure out now and new hobbies that we're trying to build and stuff that is a bit more sedentary, I guess, but at the same time making sure that it's not just, you know, sitting in front of the television and just letting the stroke kind of take hold. And that was always Dad's outlook as soon as it happened, really.
Mm. Yeah, he's definitely fighting it, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
I bet you're proud of him.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I think that was one of the scariest things when it initially happened was, is this something that he's just going to give in to? Because the doctors and everyone kind of around him kept being like, you know, this is as good as it's going to get. Like what you see now is going to be your life. And, you know, Dad hadn't fully regained consciousness and he was already kind of pushing that away, which was amazing.
Mm.
And I think, yeah, my job is just to make sure that the decisions that Dad made while he was in hospital, he sticks to. So just making sure that he's walking and still trying to exercise and still gets back on skis, and we get, you know, we get on a surfboard and we still travel and, you know, have an exciting life, because that was always what Dad did. You know, the second he left home, it was just traveling, meeting different people, having incredible experiences, and for that to just stop because, you know, a brain injury happened doesn't seem right, you know. So we're just trying to figure out ways to keep that momentum going, and it's, you know, it doesn't happen straight away. Everything takes longer than it usually would, and ideas don't work, and, you know, things happen, but we're working pretty hard on making sure that it's not a boring existence.
Yeah, I think you could easily adopt the attitude of, like, you've been ripped off.
Oh, fully. I think that's exactly, like, I think Dad just nodded his head. I think that's exactly how it felt for you, you know.
Analogy,
yeah. Yeah, like, especially for someone who's, you know, like, never smoked, wasn't a big drink, loved a party, obviously, but, you know, wasn't, like, by any means wasn't, you know, I never saw Dad, like, come home from a hard day's work and crack a beer, like, not a big drinker, didn't smoke, really healthy, fit person. For something like that to happen, it does feel like a rip-off, because it's like you work so hard to especially, you know, into your 50s and 60s to you know, keep fit and stay healthy, and then it's all taken away from you by something that was, you know, just a pre-existing kind of time bomb.
And we can never find out the answer to the why.
No, and, you know, the doctors kind of, they gave us a little bit of the why, like, you know, slightly irregular heartbeat paired with, you know, carotid webbing, like, in his arteries, somewhere in the back of his neck, but that's kind of, I don't know, it doesn't feel like enough.
Yeah. Oh, it's, I've got, like, tears in my eyes listening to you talking about him. It's amazing. What an amazing person you are.
Oh, thanks. Well, he's amazing. He's one of, you know, him and Mum brought me into the world. Couldn't have been too much of an arsehole.
Unreal. So are you guys living together?
Yeah. So I bought, while Dad was, like, in the first kind of couple of months of Dad having the stroke, I bought the house that I was renting in Mount Beauty, which was perfect because it was already, you know, it's all one level, and the woman that owned it before I did was in her 90s and incredible. Like, she lived at home until she was, I think she was almost 98. Her name was Thelma. But, you know, there was rails in the bathrooms, and, like, it was kind of already set up enough that Dad could move in pretty quickly, even though he did spend us in a care facility. But, yeah, so we've been living together for, what is it now, over a year and a half, probably, like, at the beginning and next winter it'll be 2 years. Oh, no, mate, no, it'll be three years then, because I bought the house, and it's awesome, you know, like I think because Dad and I kind of, obviously we have a father and daughter relationship, but we also, we're mates, we take the piss out of each other and, you know, we keep it very kind of fluffy. Like, we try and, you know, if you can't have a sense of humor about the shit stuff, then it just makes it shitter. So it's a good house to be in, and that was kind of like my rule. It was like, anyone that steps in the house, it's got to be really positive, because there was obviously a time initially after Dad had the stroke and I was really struggling, obviously Dad was really, really struggling. And I just wanted to make sure that by the time he came home, we'd, you know, made an effort to kind of get over that hump. And even though we might have down days and you know, not want to get out of bed and all of that kind of stuff, that for the majority, it's you know, it's good food, it's laughter, it's good mates, it's, you know, all the good stuff that we've still got in life.
So are you classed as his full-time carer?
Yeah, so I am. Dad does hate. At the moment with the NDIS, he does have 24/7 support just because of how massive the stroke was. And as a family member, you can't be their direct carer. So, as like, obviously I'm here all the time. I work 3 days a week.
What do you do?
I'm working for a girlfriend of mine. She's a jeweler.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got her studio is just down the road from our place. So I just work for her 3 times a week, which is, you know, just good for sanity. I need to work. Like, it's just the person that I am.
Mm-hmm.
And then I run dad's businesses as well. So just trying to get the backcountry tours back up and running, and also the lodge in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so when I'm not here, dad's always got, you know, one of the 5 supports around. And then they also sometimes will do sleepovers. So if I, you know, it just means that it gives me a bit more of an opportunity, you know, like I can go see my mum and my boyfriend in Melbourne and kind of still have my life outside of, you know, the stroke and everything. And I think it works well for dad and I. It's, you know, we still get to spend heaps of time together and.
Yeah, we've got a good team.
Yeah.
He's lucky to have you.
Yeah.
I'm lucky to have him.
How nice. Oh, have a cry. Have you done lots of that, crying, you too?
Oh yeah. Well, I do. Dad's had a couple, but, you know.
You'd whimper.
Yeah. And I think crying's important.
Very.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
And sometimes it's just happy cries. Like, sometimes it's just like, holy shit, like, you know, you were supposed to die. Yeah. And he didn't. So that's, you know, that's more important than the fact that he had a stroke, was the fact that he's come out the other side of it and is, you know, walking and talking and being a pain in the ass. And
when you meet those, like, massive milestones, it'd be like jumping for joy.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, like, you know, dad's thing was, like, he wanted to walk out of the hospital. And he did that, you know, like, that was huge in itself. And then it was, you know, the next one was getting back on skis and, you know, it's a different way of skiing, but he's still doing it. You know, it's like all of these things are milestones. But even like when you bring it down to the smaller ones, it's, you know, a lot of people that have similar instances to dad just let it completely take them, and they just, you know, never get out of bed or never get out of the couch, and that's kind of their life. But, you know, every day that dad gets up and goes to Pilates and, you know, goes to the pub and has a beer with mates and gets up and sits outside in the sun and, you know, all of those, they're the biggest and best ones for me.
And those are all the things that we kind of take for granted when we're not living our lives to the fullest.
Oh, absolutely. Mm. But I think it was like, it's so easy to take your body for granted and not realize how much it does for you and how important it is. And that was a big wake-up call for me. Like, I've always been relatively fit and healthy just from having a skiing background. But when dad kind of went down, it was like, I was like, all right, I need to make sure that I'm, you know, that I'm strong enough to get him off the ground if he falls over. And if anything like this happened to me, I want to make sure that I'm, you know, at least in a similar position to dad, because the fact that he was so fit has helped him so much in the aftermath. You know, not many people can, you know, do a pistol squat on one leg when they're 59, and just because he could is the reason why he hasn't been in a wheelchair since it happened.
Imagine,
you know, if, I only spent a short amount of time.
Imagine if, you know, this something like this had happened to him in Melbourne, he would probably fully recovered by now.
If it was
close care.
Yeah. And I think that was a hard thing as well, like, because it was
remote
lockdown, it was, you know, life was so different. And it happened on Father's Day.
Wow.
And I was on my way up, like, I was already at Bogong Village when my cousin Patty called me and told me what had happened. So I was only 15 minutes away, but I was, you know, on my way up the hill. Dad and I were going to go for a hike at 2:30, and, you know, he'd been over at my house the night before, and, you know, we'd spent time together, but no one ever thinks to check on someone who's fit and healthy. And I think that was like one of the hardest things for my cousin, even though, you know, Patty saved his life, just that, you know, like, even though I was not far behind him, the fact that Patrick just decided, like, I'm just going to check on him. I'm just going to open the door, see what he's doing, is a massive, you know, contributing factor to,
definitely,
to how well dad's done. But yeah, it's hard, you know, like,
good on you, Patty.
Yeah, exactly. He did such a good job. He's incredible in a crisis, like, absolutely incredible. But yeah, you know, it's hard because it's like there was all those, you know, because we'll never know how long it was, but we always say it's somewhere between like 12 and 18 hours that dad was on his own, and they didn't even want to airlift him. You know, like, the triage unit was just once it's gone past a certain amount of time, they just don't see the point anymore, really. And
they lose
Yeah, exactly. And we were just really lucky that one of the guys that was working on Dad, who was in contact with them, his name was Ian, he was just dead set, like, you need to get this guy a chopper. Like, he's not, you know, he's not your average Joe Blow. Like, get him to Melbourne. Otherwise, there was, you know, it was highly likely that Dad wouldn't have made it from Falls Creek to Melbourne in an ambulance. So
no.
The fact that he did get airlifted is huge and was probably the life-saving point.
Mm. Yeah. What do you think your future looks like?
Me?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm kind of planning it like around Dad, and I think a lot of people were kind of scared for me that I wouldn't have a life outside of this because I wanted Dad to live with me and I wanted to take it on. But, you know, my life's still going ahead. It's not, you know, I've got a lovely boyfriend and I'm, you know, building kind of my own business in the sidelines and trying to get all of Dad's stuff up and running again. And, you know,
you're kicking ass out.
Yeah. Thank you. But yeah, I don't know. I'm just like, even with the house that I bought, my plan was always to split it into two ends. So as Dad gets better, he can have one end and I can have another. And I feel like we'll always live kind of together. But as
drop the grandkids from one side to the other.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm like, all right, there you go, Stephen.
I was about to say. I was about to say one of the most awesome things is to have a grandchild. So maybe you can help him out there.
Oh, look, a lot of people have said that, and I'm kind of, I think I just need to get over the last 3 years of my life, and then I'll figure out the next couple.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm definitely not saying that it's not going to happen, but yeah, it's Dad does love kids, so
grandkids are the best.
Yeah, at the moment we've got dogs and a cat, so I think that's enough.
That's a
yeah.
substitute for the moment.
Yep.
Well, both of you are inspirational in how you're viewing this whole issue compared to other people that are just mournful about this or that.
Yeah, it doesn't make anything any better when you do that, I guess.
No, that's right. Yeah. Look on the bright side.
Yeah.
Which is what you've both done.
Yeah.
All of you.
That doesn't have family. To do the dishes anymore.
Perfect.
Yeah, you can get out of a lot of things.
Yeah. I was thinking before, you said there's not much you can do. Can you take yourself to the toilet?
That I can do, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Which is a bonus.
Yeah, it is a bonus, isn't it, for everyone?
Yeah, that is a bonus, yeah. As when I was still in hospital in Wangaratta, we had a pub across the road that we'd go over and have lunch at on regular occasions, and a bunch of my mates came up from Melbourne, and first time I'd seen Richard, you know, all the guys I was in the ski team with, Richie Biggins and Pete Frass, and who else came up? Andy?
Al
Garson.
Everyone came in.
So all my gang, yeah. And we're sitting out. It was a beautiful day in the beer garden out the back, and I had to go to the bathroom. And
we're still in a wheelchair at this point as well.
So Richie wheeled me in. I could stand up and sort of wall surf a little bit. And so Richie wheeled me into the bathroom and did the business. And there was a number two, and Richie's like, "Now, Steve, do you need a hand?" I said, "No, I think I can do this part. He said, "All right. Good," said, "if you need me to do it, I'll do it, but I'll deny it to my dad."
Yeah. Oh, you could have had a bit more fun with that, but yeah.
Yeah, bloody earth, yeah.
Mm.
Oh.
Well, yeah, like I said before, you haven't lost that sense of humour. Well, thank you both for coming on and giving us a bit of an idea of what's gone on over the last few years.
Mm. And thank you, yeah. Thanks for keeping contact.
I tried earlier, but I think from Layla's point of view, it was too soon.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think about you often. I enjoyed meeting you and, yeah, I just thought for my own curiosity, you know, what was it like to go through this process and how are you managing it? So thank you.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't wish it on anyone. I can tell you what, take the bus. Over this, if you get hit by a bus and it's all over, that's a better way, I think.
Yeah, okay. Well, is there anything you guys want to say before we finish up, or do you want to keep chatting, or?
You got anything else to
say? Well, I said earlier, yeah, thanks to everyone that's been, the communities around me, my friends and family that have been fabulous support. Yeah, good luck to anyone else who's been afflicted by this horrible condition, and stay healthy and enjoy every day, every moment of every day.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, is that, you know, it's a far out, it's a reminder to actually do that rather than sit around and mope and go, your life's hard.
Mm.
Yeah, Dad's never missed going for a run so bad.
Yeah, I never enjoyed running, but yeah, I'll tell you what.
You wish you could run.
Yeah, I wish I could, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm so sorry that this is how it's turned out, but I'm sure it's not how it's going to end.
Yeah, I don't think so, yeah.
I think that's another important thing is, like, if, you know, if there is anyone that has been through similar things, because it can, it, you know, it could be just knocking your head a bit hard and losing your speech, or, you know, and like so many, like we're so precious as humans, but I think
if I was going to have a brain injury, I thought it would have been in more spectacular fashion.
Same.
Yeah, well, downhill skiing for sure.
Very much same. But I think it's important as well to keep your drive, no matter what the people around you are saying, because Dad could have easily just listened to the doctors and listened to some of the more negative people that were around him and just kind of succumbed to whatever it was going to be, and he never did. And I think that's really important.
Well, there's no way they could know strength of character.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right.
And this character's got a lot of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, unreal. Thank you.
Thank you again. Yeah.
And
great.
We'll have another one in. We won't leave it so long next time.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds good.
We'll have another one that you can share with all your friends and give them an update, because I'm sure that it's been hard to, you know, pass on what's been going on or what it was like or all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it is. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. It's overwhelming as well. You know?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, have a good night, you two.
You. Thank you, and you too. Yeah.
You as well.
And we'll chat again soon.
Okay. Thank you.
Good luck. See ya.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.